everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of this podcast. So excited to have you with us. You know what? So far, we've talked about earning, we've talked about spending, getting into some of the nitty-gritty. And today, we're going to talk about giving. That's right. The part that people are kind of cringe up about, get uncomfortable. They're like, I don't want to talk about generosity because I know I'm supposed to want to give, but I like sort of don't want to give. It's this weird tension situation. It's cool, but it's not. When people ask me for money, ugh, hate it. You know what? You're not alone if that's where you are. And we're going to get into that today. But before we do, let's hear a quick recap from Brian.
Person who has their heart and finances wired around God and by God is a generous giver. This is going to take huge courage. Most people don't have the courage to look at their own generosity. Why should I be generous? I should be generous because God was courageous enough to be generous to me, not just giving me his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a massive, massive act of generosity, the greatest act of generosity that the cosmos has ever exhibited. But he also is generous by giving me the life I have, by giving me breath, by giving me my friends, by giving me all the resources I have. And we need to eliminate this natural resistance many of us have to generosity, of just clinging to things. When we're clinging to things and we're not releasing things, we're not being a blessing to others, and we're not experiencing the freedom that comes from releasing our stuff, because we tell ourselves and we tell God and we tell our stuff, I own you. You don't own me. And the fact that I can release you tells you that you don't own me. Being a generous giver is one of being a person of courage and freedom.
Everyone, I am here with the president of an organization called Good Sense. Sid Yeomans is joining us, and I could not be more excited because this is a man that knows about generosity. I mean, a giver from his heart. But before we get into anything about giving or generosity, Sid, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Good Sense for our audience who may not know what that is?
Thanks, Hannah. Yeah, Good Sense is an organization that focuses on stewardship and helping people, you know, think about generosity. So that's a good reason why we're talking about generosity today. And we really want to help people transform their finances and transform their lives. You know, it's one thing to deal with your finances, but we're all wondering, how can we actually transform our lives? And no better topic than generosity to talk about that.
That's great. So let's just get right into it. You know, I've been using the words giving and generous kind of interchangeably, and I've already done it in this podcast, but I think there actually is a difference. Is there? What is it? Could you share with us what that is?
You bet. Yeah. On the one hand, there's the act of giving money. We write a check, we give money. On the other hand, there's being a generous giver with your heart pointed to God. There's actually three attitudes of giving. You know, there's a detached giver, a doing type giver, and someone who is being generous. So a detached giver, they're a resistance giver. They're like a bucket, if you will. And if money or water goes into the bucket, it just stays in the bucket, kind of like the Dead Sea. I don't know if you've ever been to the Dead Sea,
yes,
Hannah.
Yes, I have.
You know that water goes in, it doesn't come out very easily. It's very salty and it stinks, actually, very much. So you don't want to be a detached giver. You know, that's all about you. And then you mentioned about doing generosity. So writing that check, you know, that's one who, you know, gives to maintain compliance. Someone asked them to do that, or they feel like they have to because their friends are, or whatever the thing is. They're writing a check, but it's not connected to their heart at all. So Jesus taught us to be his followers to be givers, to be generous, and to be a joyful giver. So that's what the difference between being generous and just doing giving or being detached. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. You know what? I think that we will have listeners that probably definitely fall into one or more of those categories, if that's possible. Or maybe they're not giving anything and they don't fall into that category at all. But for a detached giver, or for as you say, someone who's doing giving, what kind of drives that behavior, Sid? What do you think is underneath there? And then kind of on the contrary, what's driving the behavior of someone who can be considered generous?
Yeah, a generous giver is one who's obedient in their will, but, you know, joyful in their attitude and really compassionate, you know, through their heart. And so we're actually made to give, Anna. You know, we're made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, and God is gracious and generous to us. We'll lead more satisfied and fulfilled lives when we give to others. And so blessing others creates joy in my life. And actually, another reason to give is, you know, it's all about the experiences more than just the stuff. You know, one of my friends actually had a story that he told about a Rambler, kind of an ugly green car for him that he bought in high school for like $400. You know, he worked hard. He bought it, and he bought it with his own money, you know, and it wasn't much to look at, but, you know, his friends would pile into it. They go to sporting events. They go to different things to do. They had fun during high school. Then my friend took this Rambler to college, and they decided to take it on spring break one time. And the Rambler kept, you know, it would break down from time to time, but they would fix it, and they would keep doing their different events. But when they went to spring break, yeah, they were driving down to Florida from a Midwest college, and they hit a rainstorm, Anna. And during that rainstorm, they figured out they turned the windshield wipers to on, and the Rambler didn't work. It didn't have windshield wiper capability yet, so it was raining. Instead of stopping, you know, these college guys, they took the shoelaces out of their shoes, they tied them through the windshield wipers, and for the next 10 minutes, they were going back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, my gosh.
Keeping the windshield wipers going so they could keep going to Florida, okay? And so this $400 Rambler, not much to look at, but it created some experiences for these guys that, what do you think they talk about now years later when they get together?
They're talking about that shoestrings, right?
Right, and the experiences. And, you know, the whole idea of blessing others so it creates joy in your life, it really makes you stop and think when it's about the experiences and not just the stuff.
That's awesome. So what's underlying on the opposite of that? If I'm experiencing joy, you know, that's my underlying motivation kind of for wanting to be generous. What do you think is the underlying behavior of that detached giver or the person who is just doing giving?
Right. Yeah. And many people even take it to another extreme of kind of having a fear of giving sometimes, you know. I think, Hannah, really the main thing is this concept called a stewardship mindset, where we don't actually own our stuff at all. God does. And once we get to that place, it totally changes the way we think, the way we define our emotional attachment to money, or our spiritual reaction related to money. I don't know if you've read Job 1 in a while, but I'd say go back and read it. Job was a stud. There's no way around it. I mean,
he had it going on. He did.
Oh, man, you know. But Satan tempted Job and took away his health to an extreme that he had to sit at the city gates, you know, and he took away his wealth. Some family members died, things like that. But, you know, instead of forsaking God, Job just said, hey, whether I have a little or a lot, I'm going to use this as it's God's and be a steward in this because it's not mine. I'm managing this. You know, and so in Job's case, God chose to give everything more back plus more. That's not always the case in everybody's life, but wow, I mean, just what Job went through, his heart was in the right place. It wasn't about his stuff. It wasn't about his. It was all God's, whether he had a little or a lot. Conversely, the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, I don't know if you've read that story, but, you know, that rich young ruler, he had everything. You know, he had the best education. He had, you know, businesses he had created. He claimed to have kept all the commandments, you know, since birth. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what else do I need to do, you know, to inherit the kingdom of God? And And Jesus, knowing his heart, he said, well, why don't you just give away everything and follow me? Now, God doesn't ask all of us to do that literally all the time with our pocketbooks. But what if he did? You know, that whole idea that it's not ours, it's God's. Because the rich young ruler, unfortunately, went away sad that day because that was the one thing he couldn't do. Couldn't write a check that big. So we just have to be careful in our culture as well. This whole fear thing and being a detached giver and just doing generosity, because our culture all around us is screaming at us all the time, just like in the rich young ruler's case or Satan when he tempted Job. We're redefining what's normal in our culture all the time. And that's a big pressure on all of us. And did you know that in 1940, that the average house size was 750 square feet?
Wow.
1950, it was 950 square feet. 1960, 1,100 square feet. 1970, 1,350 square feet. Today, you're not normal unless you have a house that's 2,300 square feet. And inflation-adjusted income is not really that much different than back then. And so we're trying to struggle to keep up with the Joneses and do all these things in our spending so that we have a huge fear or a detached look at being generous and being others-focused. So instead of letting the culture sink in for us, you know, maybe thinking about what's right for me, what's right for my family. And since God owns everything, how should I manage all of my finances? Once we get to that place, it totally frees us up practically, emotionally, spiritually, towards avoiding being a detached giver to being generous.
That's good. So you know what, Sid, if there's so much fear that's related to generosity or to giving, and honestly, I think some of that fear is often rooted in that scarcity mindset of like, I won't have enough if I give something away, or there's just not enough to go around. How does someone overcome that? So we've got folks who are maybe driving in their car right now. Maybe they're making dinner. Maybe they're, you know, just taking a break for themselves and listening to this podcast. And they're sitting in that fear bucket. I want them to be able to get off this podcast, you know, Sid, and walk away with something. How do we overcome that fear that is associated with that generosity?
Yeah, definitely. In addition to the steward's mindset that we just went through and realizing that our stuff is not our own, it's God's. And so to be others focused, you know, I give as a response to God's goodness in my life. You know, James 1:17 said, every good and perfect gift is from above. Therefore, I give out of gratefulness and that I've received as well. So, you know, that's a huge part of my journey and how I look at it to get over that fear hurdle, you know. And also, you know, being willing to share creates joy. And once you start to experience that, it's truly amazing. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, command the rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And so you can get over that fear. You can get excited about generosity by starting to realize that it brings joy and being others focused. Yeah.
You know what? You seem to be genuinely excited and have joy around giving things away. Why is that? And talk to us about how did you get there?
Yeah. That's a big deal in my life. And I am very excited about generosity. I'm basically expectant to see what God will do at the next generosity point. And not just because he's been so faithful in the past. You know, I think for me too, personally, when I'm generous, I realize that money can't control my joy. You know, and, you know, my story, I grew up, part of my childhood was in poverty, actually. And my mom still created a sense of joy in the midst of that, a single mom for a part of my childhood. And, you know, one time I remember it vividly. She laid out a blanket on the floor of the apartment where we were at, and she brought out saltine crackers and government-issue cheese, and we had a picnic on the living room floor. I remember it because I had so much fun doing it. I didn't know that that's the only food we had in the house. Had no idea. But my mom was generous in that and created an environment of joy. And so there's in poverty or in plenty. I mean, today, you know, my family, we're very wealthy from all standards, I would say. And so, you know, I've had some amazing teams over the years and created different businesses, and now president of Good Sense and a doctorate in finance and different things. And so there's, whether in poverty or plenty, you know, having this idea that when I'm generous, money can't control my joy is huge for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know what, Sid, if I can add to that, it sounds like money's not controlling your heart either in that sense, which I think is part of the reason you can get so excited, you know. So for our listeners, I love to hear about what you just said about your joy not being connected to whether or not you have plenty or poverty. What do you do that makes you excited? Like a practical thing that maybe some of our listeners would be able to take away to get you excited about generosity? Is it a story? Is it expectant results? What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, a really easy way to get started, you know, living generously for a lot of people is an activity that I like to do, you know, for them, of listing the top 10 serving skills and things you own. Because, you know, in generosity, we talk about money a lot, but in actuality, you know, generosity can be in your time, your talents, your resources. You've had a busy day today, Hannah, right? I have too. Our listeners as well, right? We can choose what our time is used on. We have certain talents and skills and abilities, but what if, you know, our listeners got out a pad of paper or took their phone and said, okay, in my three categories of time, talents, and resources, what are the top 10 things or even five things that they have? So in their time, what things could they use their time to do in serving others, doing your job, all of those type of things? What would be fun, you know, and connected with others' focus? So practically doing that. Talents, what skills do I have? Whether I have a lot or a little money, you have some skills, right? So what are you good at? What'd you learn in school? What do your parents teach you? You know, and then resources. What are the things you own? Yeah, you have your bank account. Yes, you can start to, you know, set aside some money for generosity and have that. But what are the things you own? Like, you know, do you have a house? Do you have a car? Do you have a phone? Do you have, what are the things you have? And are there ways from time to time that you're able to let other people use those that can create huge amounts of joy in their life? For me, you asked a specific one. I remember early on in my marriage, my wife, Cindy, we didn't have much money, you know, when we first started out. We had lots of love, but not a lot of money. And but we wanted to start to practice this principle. And she was married to the crazy finance guy. So I'd been budgeting and tracking my finances for years and years before we got married. But she was on board. And we said, okay, one of the things we have is a humidifier. It's a really weird thing. I mean, we had this because our house we were living in needed a humidifier and, you know, took water out of the air. That's what dehumidifier takes water out of the air. And we said, we have this. And we knew of a couple that was needing it. They had a flooded basement, things like that. We said, okay, this is something we own. They have a need for it. Let's try to, let's do this. Let's be generous in this. So we let them borrow it. Unfortunately, it came back trashed, you know, and we said, okay, here's our first hurdle. We were generous. Was it because of us and for us, or was it for them? Is this our dehumidifier, or is it God's dehumidifier? Kind of a really weird item, right? And we said, it's God's dehumidifier. Sometimes things will come back even better than when we sent them. Sometimes they come back the same. Sometimes they never come back at all. And sometimes that might be the end of that dehumidifier, right? And we're okay with that. And so as time has gone on, the numbers and items have gotten bigger and bigger. And so then we continue to set bigger goals and, you know, go after that. When we first gave our first million, you know, and now it's 10 million. And could it be someday, you know, 10 million a month? I don't know. But, you know, what in your life and in our listeners' lives, you know, if we had to list out what are our time, talents, and resources, you know, we have a lot. And we can go after being generous in that.
I love that you really took the conversation to a new level. Because you know what? We've been talking to audiences who are in three different lanes, as we've defined it. And if you're in that first lane where, you know, you're just starting to learn about stuff like this, you might be intimidated by generosity because you only hear it as giving money. And so there's just such an encouragement in there to really know that it's not just about money. You know what? You made a statement a bit ago that really stood out to me. You said that we were made to give. Now, I want you to back up and unpack that for me, because that's not something that you typically hear. I don't hear a whole lot of sermons about being made to give. I don't know that there's any other podcast talking about being made to give, this idea that God hardwired us for that. Unpack that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, God is so generous. You know, he died on the cross for us, and, you know, our salvation is secure because of him. And there's nothing more generous or gracious than sending his son, you know, Jesus, to this earth. And so since he did that, it's hardwired and part of God. And if we're made in the image of God, then we are made to give. And we'll lead definitely a more satisfied and fulfilled life if we're giving to others. You know, back to that, our culture screaming all around us, just another concept along those lines that might help our listeners. It's I kind of view our lives as, you know, we have a lifestyle box. You know, all of our money can go somewhere, and we have our lifestyle. If we consider it looking like a box, you know, we fill up the box. Our culture says spend all the money that comes in, and our whole box is filled up with lifestyle, you know, all the lifestyle around us. So if we ever want to save or give, it's actually outside of our box of income, and we're going further into debt to save or give. Whereas the Bible talks about flipping that totally the opposite direction and to give first of our first fruits in our lifestyle box, to save second for a rainy day and for things in the future, and then spend and have total freedom to spending up to the cap of the top of our lifestyle box on our lifestyle. We can still enjoy our life and so forth. And so if we follow that pattern, it really helps us to get closer to Christ rather than pushes us away, and gets closer to that image of being created to give that you were asking about, rather than being getting closer to the culture around us.
It definitely is countercultural what you're saying. And it sounds like, you know, being generous kind of has some sort of transformational aspect to it. You know, talk to me a little bit, Sid, about how being generous has changed you, and what has it taught you?
Yes. I think the main thing that it's taught me is that giving is an act of worship. And giving allows me to get closer to Christ, absolutely. And it's a pursuit that has to be done daily, weekly, ongoing. You know, at first, you know, daily tracking of expenses so you know where everything is going. You know, weekly, if you're married, you know, checking in with your spouse, is it matching up to our monthly budget and things like that? If you're single, it's easier and harder. You know, it's easier because you're controlling everything there, but it's harder. You don't have someone to kind of help pull the sleigh with, so to speak. And so, you know, daily, knowing where the money's going, weekly, are we on track for the budget? And then annually kind of getting away and forming some goals around generosity and seeing where are we at, because ultimately you can't outgive God, Hannah, and he is infinite where we're finite. And if we really grasped hold of that thought process, we would go from that scarcity mindset that you mentioned earlier to one that is more of an abundance mindset and just getting closer to Christ out of an act of worship.
That's great. You know what? That's actually such a perfect segue to where I want to take the next piece of this conversation. You said getting into like habits or forming rhythms. That's really what I heard you say about giving. So yeah. It sounds like there are some rhythms and habits that can be formed, and based on where you are in life, they can look a little bit different. So let's talk practical stuff for just a bit. So for our listeners that are on board with trying to figure out how to get started, how do you start a generosity fund or start to set giving goals regardless of your financial situation?
Absolutely. Romans 12:2 talks about thinking, taking action, and having some results. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So we're really talking about this generosity piece of changing the way we think from a culture mindset to a stewardship mindset. I mean, it's totally countercultural, as you said, and it's changing the way we think. And if we start to crack the door open on that and realize the joy of thinking differently on that, we might take some actions related to that that reap some results that help us become more generous. Because Romans 12:2, again, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, the actions, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is, the results from that. So, you know, are these things enjoyable that we're thinking about doing? Do they pull me closer to Christ or push me further away? And if they're closer, then that's likely a non-negotiable, you know, in our life, where we can start to set those, you know, that's a practical rhythm and habit to go after that. So
that's awesome. So speaking of non-negotiables, you know, we talked about those this week about having some financial non-negotiables. I think this can be a little bit of a tricky thing for a lot of us, especially when generosity is on the table. So as you spend time counseling people, what have you seen as easy ways for people to determine their non-negotiables?
Yeah, I think it really does go back to, is it allowing people in what their non-negotiables are, to those being ones that pull people closer to Christ or push them away. And another example, you know, my mom growing up, she went to every single one of my sporting events. You know, I was in football and basketball, soccer, played in the band as well, you know, those type of things. And, you know, she went to every single one of my events. She said, you know, said, "Don't try to teach me again about what offsides in soccer is. I don't want to know, you know." And you know, I don't understand why everybody on the side of the football, on the sideline, how come they just don't put everybody in and just play everybody? Then mom, oh, there's rules for that. But you know, she went to every single one of my games, and you know what? Looking back, that pulled my relationship with my mom to a whole new level. You know, I still talk with her, you know, at least once a week. We know, you know, what is going on in each other's lives. It's a deep relationship. And it stemmed from putting all that in place over a long period of time and being involved in my life. And that's the same thing that Christ does through us on this generosity journey. I absolutely believe it. So if we're kind of diligently going after this on a daily, weekly, annual basis, dreaming about how we can be more others focused, we can actually get closer to Christ, just like my mom did some things for me so that I'm closer to her. God doesn't need our money, by the way. He doesn't need our money. Just like my mom didn't need to watch another football game or a soccer game. It wasn't her most fun thing to do, but she did it because I was there. God does it in the generosity area. He allows us to be generous. He doesn't need our money. Generosity is for us. It's not for God. And the more we do it, the closer we get to Christ.
I love what you just said there. I would love to hear more about that. I don't know that we've heard yet. Generosity is for us. Sid, you've said it maybe, you know, maybe you've said it a different way, but say it again. Say it louder for the people in the back, as I like to say, so that they can hear it. Because there is something that I think Freed Up has that no other entity has. And that is, there is a spiritual transformation tied to this idea of looking at our finances and wanting to be the best stewards. Man, go back and just say it louder for the people in the back and unpack what it means when you says God does not need our money. Because I tell you, speaking of culture, culture is like, well, you know, they just want the money to make the church bigger and make the preacher's pockets fatter. And don't get me wrong, there are cases upon cases, unfortunately, of where funds have been misappropriated. But still, somehow, there's this relationship that we're asked to be brought into with God through our money. Say more. You're the expert.
Yeah. So many churches focus on giving as fundraising or just to keep the light bills on. Or there's fundraisers that we've all gone to. But no, those are definitely needed at some points. And there's a lot of good organizations, churches, and other ones that, you know, we can do fundraising for. And it's not bad to go to those, not bad to participate. Those are all good things. But the generosity that we're looking at in Freed Up is who we are as people, you know, and are we generous? Are we being generous people day in, day out? You know, when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night, have we been generous during that day, each one of us as individuals? Not necessarily have we written a check that day to some ministry or the church or wherever, but were we compassionate to someone today? Did we, you know, if in the financial area, did we buy somebody coffee? Did it make their day? Recently my wife, you know, saw someone at the gas station and looked like they were looking for money in their purse. She filled their car with gas, you know. So there's just each day when we really become generous and we're not detached or we're not just doing generosity to check the box, God will put things in our paths that allow us to be generous people. And the more and more that we become generous in our own lives, that means that we're getting closer to Christ in his ultimate generosity to us. And that's why we're made to be generous.
Man, that's so good. That is rich information that I think everyone can walk away with. Because you know what? That is what it's about. It's ultimately about getting closer to Jesus and looking like Jesus. And this is one of the areas that he calls us to do that. So I love that. Man, Sid, it's been such a blast chatting with you today. I know that I got something out of this. I hope that our listeners also walk away knowing that generosity is about getting closer to God's heart and looking more like Jesus. And it can be an option in more ways than just finances. And so do you have any final one thing that you would want our listeners to walk away with that if they heard nothing else today, what's the one liner that you would give them?
Don't wait to find the joy of generosity, whether it's finances or your time or your skills. Don't wait. Start today and see where God takes it.
Thank you so much, Sid, for joining us. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. Man, we've had so much fun today. We've learned a lot. And you know what, Sid? You were quoting some scripture on here. It was so fantastic. So if you need to run back and jot down those scriptures, you know what? That is a great option to do that. Listeners, so glad that you could be with us. We've got two more episodes, and I want you to hang in there with us because this is all about going to a new place and becoming more free. Stick with us, and we'll see you next time.